Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's reading is John 17, 6 through 19. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given comes from me. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore, that I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Thank you, Patty. You probably already knew it. I forgot to mention during the prayers, one of our members, Clint Ferrari, passed away and had the service this week. And just in the past 6 weeks, I believe, we lost five longtime members. So let's remember all their families in our prayers. Question for this morning is, what is the meaning of life? It might be a question that is asked in despair or hope or out of cynicism or out of sincere curiosity and a deep desire to have goals and guidance in life. And our most basic and fundamental question, what is the meaning of life? And so it comes as no surprise that Jesus deals with this question. The answer is not given in the context of an argument with the Jewish religious leaders or in a discussion with his disciples, and is not given in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus deals with so many fundamental issues in life. Jesus deals with the meaning of life in the context of prayer. It has been called Jesus' high priestly prayer. The disciples are in the upper room. They've just finished the Passover meal, and Jesus is thinking about the crucifixion that will occur within the next 24 hours. He knows he is about to leave his disciples alone in the world, and he goes before God as a priest would to intercede for his disciples, to pray for them. In essence, Jesus says, the meaning of life is this, that you have a relationship with God and me, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And that's really the long and short of it. Jesus understands just how difficult it was going to be, not only for his disciples, but for us to come to this very simple realization in life. And so he prays basically for two things. In order that we might understand the meaning of life, he prays for our protection from the world and from the evil one. And we do need protection from the world, because the world can steal life and happiness and joy from us. Patsy Claremont, author of the cute book God Uses Cracked Pots, tells a story about her youngest son, Jason. Little Jason had two goals in life. One was to have fun, and the other was to rest and take naps. Some of you can relate to that. So it's no surprise that when he was sent out to catch the bus one fall morning, a few moments later, there was a knock on the door. His mother, thinking something horrible has happened, runs to the door, swings it open, and there's Jason looking up with his backpack and his little lunchbox dragging on the ground. Mom demanded, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "Mom, I've quit school." She said, "Quit school?" And she looked at her child in disbelief. She tried to think of some motherly wisdom to give to him. But she was so caught by surprise that all she could think of was a stitch in time saves nine and starve a cold, feed a fever. And that just wasn't going to get it. They didn't seem to fit the occasion, so she asked him, "Jason, why have you quit school?" And without hesitation, little Jason said, "It's too long, it's too hard, and it's too boring." This time she had an answer equal to the task. She said, "Jason, you have just described life. Get back on the bus." The day in and day out challenges of life sometimes can be overwhelming for each of us. Sometimes life can be too long, it can be too hard, and it can seem too boring at times. And we lose our Christian hope and joy and succumb to despair. It's when we try to find meaning in life at things other than God. We look for escape through a bottle. We look for happiness in the form of another woman. We look for stability in life that another man might can give us. We try to resolve conflict through violence, or we try to dissolve our material desires by stealing. And Jesus understood these trials and temptations, so he prayed, "Father, protect them from the world so that they may be one as we are one." A visiting preacher in a small town in Kentucky was concerned when he was preaching the first night of a revival. You have to understand, in Kentucky, that's where I went to graduate school, a lot of small churches out in the country, and they have revivals and invite a preacher in that'll last all week and culminate on Sunday morning. Well, he began the first night of the revival meeting and noticed that most of the men in the congregation were carrying guns. Although that rattled him, he did as best as he could to present his sermon. Very, very nervous. When finished, his anxieties heightened as several of the men approached the pulpit with guns drawn. In panic, he turned to the chairman of the deacons, who happened to be sitting next to him, and the deacon calmed his fears, said, "Don't worry, they ain't coming after you. They're looking for the elders that invited you to preach in the first place." Well, sometimes even a pastor needs a place to hide after a sermon. But hopefully none of you are packing guns this morning, or at least you're a bad shot. Policemen guard our communities. Laws and rules protect our society. Parents teach honesty and integrity to their children so that they will grow up and they will have good values and know how to handle life. They'll have norms of behavior that fit in society. We all need someone at some times to keep us safe and protected. So why should it surprise us that our souls need to be safeguarded from the corruption of the world, the things that would draw us away from the church, away from God, back out into the world? Jesus prayed for his disciples that the Father would protect them and keep them from losing their way in this world. We need a safe environment. I don't think it merely means a physical or a social environment, but we need a safe spiritual environment to nurture our faith and our commitment to God. Jesus understood how difficult it was going to be for us to understand the real meaning of life. It's difficult because there's so many ways to get lost in the world, taking the wrong path and never coming back. Jesus gives our souls the security that we need in order to hear his call and follow. So in order that we might understand the meaning of life, Jesus prays that we might know God. Moses, when he brought down the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, gathered all the people of Israel together and read the commandments before them so that they could all hear it at the same time. And so he summed up the Ten Commandments in these words: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." When Jesus was asked by an expert in the law, "What is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." And on the evening before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed that disciples will come to know God in a personal way. Actually, Jesus is simply echoing the words from Moses. He is restating the lines in a brief phrase, that they may know the only true God. Jesus isn't talking about knowing God like you know your ABCs or you know the multiplication tables. He's talking about knowing God, knowing Jesus himself in a very personal and a very intimate way. That's what Jesus is praying for, and I want to tell you how hard this can be for all of us. It's hard enough to let your family into your heart and into your mind, into your life. Much more, God, who wants to change you and make you a better person. And yet that is what is being asked of each and every one of us. This is the only way to find true meaning and happiness in life. And it's the only way that your children and grandchildren will find their meaning in life. When Moses read all the Israel the Ten Commandments and summed them up by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart," he added something very important there. He said, "Teach these commandments to your children." Of course, the best way to teach your children the meaning of life is to live it in front of them, live it on a day-to-day basis in your home. If your kids see you putting other things before God, they will become discouraged and delusioned and think, "Church doesn't matter, God doesn't matter." Like a young Jewish boy who once lived in Germany. His father was a very successful merchant, and the family practiced their Jewish faith. But then they moved to another German city, and the boy's father announced that they would no longer attend the Jewish synagogue. They were going to join the Lutheran Church. The boy was very surprised and asked his father why the family was joining the Lutheran Church and leaving the Jewish faith. And his father's answer was something like this: "Son, it's for business reasons. There's so many Lutherans in the town that I can make good business contacts at the Lutheran Church. It will be good for our business and for our family." That boy, who had a deep interest in religion at that time, became so disillusioned with his father that something within him died towards God and towards the church. The incident helped to turn him against religion, and not just turn away from it, but turn away from it with a vengeance. That young boy later moved to England and began to write. His name, Karl Marx. As the father of communism, he wrote the Communist Manifesto, in which he called religion the opiate of the masses. In other words, he believed that religion pacified, placated people, and caused them not to go into the world and do good things. It was the destroyer of any progress. Religion held us back. And I wonder if world history, not just this family, I wonder if world history might be different today if Karl Marx's father had just come to know Jesus and become a disciple himself instead of doing what he did. One thing is sure, he needed to learn from his father, and he did not learn from his father. God gives us protection, and he desires that we have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Remember that Jesus prayed for his disciples. These were those who had walked with him and learned from him for 3 years. We all need to deepen our relationship with God, and Jesus prays that we might do just that. So will you pray that you might come to know God more deeply, so that you can have that true joy and understand the true meaning of life for you and for your family? So I say to you today, hear, O Glenshaw Valley Presbyterians, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That, my friends, is the true meaning of life, a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be blessed. Amen.